6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, and it's Tuesday, July 12, 2022. Dave Prieger with you on the Power Hour. I want to clarify something just to be on the safe side, besides the fact we've got a 10% off site-wide sale going on right now here on the Power Mall. And, you know, that's our retaliation to boycotting Amazon today. But I also want to clarify something else. That for those of you who might have misunderstood me, I did not tell you to go get all of your guns and ammo and run down to the Texas border and shoot into the Rio Grande. I did not tell you to do that. I'm not going to be accused of inciting a riot here. There's a right way and a wrong way to do things. I mentioned about the idea of being deputized, and I want to make sure that everybody gets that through their skull. And you don't go something, do something stupid and then blame it on me and say that I said go down to the border and shoot it in the Rio Grande. And I just said it would be fun to get an LRAD and play the Battle of New Orleans by Johnny Horton while we're chasing them all back across. Because as far as I'm concerned, the people that are in power in Texas right now, too slow to react. They're playing typical rhino games with we the people, especially Texans. We have Daniel Miller with us. He's the president of the Texas Nationalist Movement, of which I'm a part of. And I'll tell you, you know, we're gaining more and more popularity from what I'm seeing here about how and when Texas is going to leave the Union. There's already been a secession in American history. Happened in April of 1861 with the state of South Carolina. Texas eventually did secede as part of the 13 states that formed the Confederacy. Now, you can say what you want. A lot of it is misconception. And you have to understand that Texas has its own power grid. It's got its own way of producing energy. It's got oil and gas resources. It's got a very, very dedicated work ethic, work populace. Now, there are some contractors out there that build houses I got some issues with. But as far as, you know, the crux of Texas has a good work ethic, and they believe in hard work. This state was founded on hard work and sacrifice. You know, just remember 1836 and Sam Houston. Remember that. Remember the Alamo, too, because, you know, especially when Ozzie came over and whizzed on it, he got himself in a lot of trouble, too, because we love our country, we love Texas, and we love our guns. That's just the way it is down here. Daniel Miller, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Well, so I gotta look at the statistics now. The website is texitnow.org. It's like Brexit, only with a T. T-E-X-I-T-now.org. And when you go there, it's a complete educational setup, isn't it?
It is. You know, we've been at this a very long time. I personally been working for Texas Independence for 25 years. And in 2018, I wrote a book called Texit, Why and How Texas Will Leave the Union. And then as a supplement to that, the organization put up a website, the texitnow.org, which handles about the 100, somewhere in that ballpark, most asked questions about Texas independence. And so we cover everything there from the constitutionality, the issues of, you know, what are we going to do about a border? What about benefit? I mean, you know, we cover everything. So, down to even some of the craziest questions we get, like what league will my sports team play in? I mean, those sorts of things. So, yeah, there's definitely some opportunity there for people to get boned up on the issue.
Well, and it would make sense to me that even if Texas was its own nation, we compete with other nations. I mean, it's not a big deal if they're so damned worried about their sports. I mean, if you're talking about, I'm sorry, sir, if you're talking about Texas independence, sports is the last thing I'm going to worry about. I want to be able to know we have the right to be free and that we have our own militia, our own constitutional militia of people that can defend us, especially if we're invaded by China, which is exactly what our United States military has been warning us about for the last several years. Now, the statistics of a Texit vote, every time somebody like Biden does his cockamamie stuff that he does in Washington, more and more Texas Republicans want to secede from the Union. What do you know about that? What do the stats look like right now?
Well, look, it's not just Texas Republicans, right? So just to put you back in Mr. Peabody's Wayback Machine, When we founded the TNM in 2005, independent support was polling in single digits, right? That was when you could find third-party polling on it. You fast forward to 2009, you know, we'd been working for four solid years on doing some capacity building. Poll comes out on Research 2000. We're just slightly under half of Republicans, about 40% of independents and 15% of Democrats. You go to 2014, around the time of the Scottish independence referendum, the poll numbers make a major shift. 54% Republicans. It was the first time we were a majority of Republicans, right at half of independent voters, and over a third of Democrats wanted Texas to withdraw. And so, you know, since then, there has been subsequent third-party polling. But, of course, there was a bombshell poll that hit just this last week, right? So as news broke of the Republican Party of Texas adopting not just one but two planks in their platform, calling on a Texas referendum, there was a Survey USA poll that dropped that showed 66% of likely Texas voters would vote Texas out of the union. They want out. So, you know, and that's across all partisan affiliation. And I got to tell you, if the federal government just kind of continues on its course, they'll push that number closer to 100%. But the good news about this, Dave, is this is what I've been telling people for years, is that when Texas independence goes on a ballot and Texans walk into the polls and they look at that ballot proposition that says that should the state of Texas reassert its status as an independent nation, we're going to win. And we're not going to win by a little. We're going to win by a lot. So this most recent poll was just a great confirmation that that what we've been saying all along is absolutely true.
Now, understand also, folks, that Plank 33, which is approved by 88.64% of the more than 8,500 delegates, says that pursuant to Article 1, Section 1 of the Texas Constitution, the federal government has impaired our right of local self-government. Therefore, Texas retains the right to secede from the United States, and the Texas legislature should be called upon to pass a referendum consistent thereto. Plank 225, approved by 90.08% of the delegates, is even more direct. Quote, we urge the Texas legislature to pass a bill in its next session requiring a referendum in the 2023 general election for the people of Texas to determine whether or not the state of Texas should reassert its status as an independent nation, unquote. Now, you know, obviously, from the show notes that I just read, very, very clear message. Now, where is the legislature at collectively on this, Daniel?
Yeah, collectively, it's going to be a bit of an uphill climb because we've got this massive disconnect between what the people want, the party these guys purport to represent, and these legislators. Look, we got House Bill 1359 filed in the last session, right? That was the Texas Independence Referendum Act. And a word came down from leadership. And when I talk about leadership, I'm talking about Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick and Dave Phelan, that bill was not to see the light of day. And being a good lieutenant, the chairman of the State Affairs Committee in the House, Chris Patty, would never schedule it for a hearing, even though you had six legislators signed on to it that were no slouches, including James White, who joint authored the bill, who was chair of the Homeland Security Committee. They would not let that bill see the light of day, wouldn't even call it for a hearing. So, you know, those guys were targeted during redistricting, and as such, we lost some great folks. You know, we lost Kyle Biederman, the original author of the bill. We lost James White. And so we've got some definite opportunities, some pickups with some folks, and we're working really hard to ensure that not only that legislation gets filed, but we ramp up the public sentiment on this issue and the public pressure so these guys know. And look, those platform planks are part of that process, making sure that we have, you know, unmistakable, unarguable proof that the party that these guys purport to represent want to see this question on the ballot.
Well, I would not think that they would be opposed to such a thing unless they thought that Texans would go, you know what? I think we want to be our own independent nation. I don't think we want to be part of the United States anymore because we don't like what's going on with this supposed one-party system with two heads. I mean, this is exactly what's happening. But you got these rhinos serving in Texas right now. We got to get rid of them, don't you think?
Well, yeah, that's what this last cycle was about. But, you know, the one thing that we do know is that ultimately these guys will stick their finger in the air and see which way the wind's blowing, right? But understand that the very sort of vocal opposition to this in both the legislature and the executive up there with Abbott, the vocal opposition continues to say that this is a fringe issue, that it is outside of the mainstream, that no one believes this. And so our retort to this has always been, look, if you don't agree with it, that's fine, but you should at a minimum agree to support the oath that you took and support Article 1, Section 2 of the Texas Constitution, which rightly places questions like this to a vote of the people. And what it tells you is what you just said is the absolute truth. They know, just like we do, if this thing goes on a ballot and the people have a chance to vote on it, that the Texiteers like us can make our case, and they cannot make a case for why we should stay in the union. And Dave, it boils down to the question I ask everyone, which is simply this. If Texas was currently a self-governing independent nation, right, self-governing in every respect, we had control over our own border policy, our own immigration policy, we had our own military, our own currency, everything that 200-plus other self-governing independent nations around the world have. And instead of talking about Texas, we were talking about whether or not we should give up our sovereignty and join the union. Knowing everything you know about the federal government this very moment, would you go into the polls and vote to join the union, yes or no?
Exactly. See, and we'd all want Texas independence because we don't like what Washington has dished out. It's sad. And I understand that, you know, South Texas just flipped a seat to red. I get it. But see, that's Texas. That's South Texas. And then Jill Biden goes down there and calls these Latinas, equates them to tacos. And I'm just like, oh, please. You know, you're really alienating a lot of voters here. And so, you know, this is why more Democrats now are looking at this idea of Texas independence and going, you know, this might not be just such a bad idea. But, you know, again, Daniel, you're going back to the fact the Texas Constitution is not being upheld. I would think that there would be some way that the Texas folk could bring a lawsuit against the key leaders in government and force them to put that on the ballot. Has that been given any consideration?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've looked at all sorts of ways to get this on the ballot, both binding and non-binding. And so we know that ultimately the only vote that really matters is one that goes on a ballot in a general election where all the people can vote on it and it becomes binding. It was one of the contentions that we had with the final draft of 1359 in the last session. Short thing about bill process. The legislator submits the bill to the Texas Legislative Council. The Texas Legislative Council does their corrections and cleanups and research, and then they file the bill effectively, essentially on behalf of the legislator. And so there was some haggling back and forth, you know, in the text of my book and on the TNM website. We have the original draft of the Texas Independence Referendum Act. And part of what the Ledge Council did was they changed the referendum. They changed the ballot language, which was unacceptable to us. And then what they did was they stripped out provisions. They wanted to strip out provisions that compelled the state to do anything after the vote. So, in other words, you know, the governor, the legislature, et cetera. So we had to throw kind of a last-minute Hail Mary there at the tail end to you know, have something on the other end of it. But it's one of the things that we face here in Texas is we have some constitutional deficiencies in regard to holding our elected officials to account. We saw that during the COVID lockdowns, where there was no mechanism outside of the governor to call for a special session. The governor has, outside of that 140 days every other year, extraordinary executive authority. He gets to, you know, he gets to run this thing like a king, as we have seen. That coupled with, you know, the his emergency powers that he gets when he declares an emergency. So, you know, we've got some challenges here. And the only thing that's going to correct that, really two things. It's going to be enormous public pressure moving into the legislative session, which is absolutely possible and highly probable this session. And the second is to just start pitching the bums out during the election cycle, which is one of the things we tried to do this last cycle.
Okay, so right now HB 1359 is still alive, right? It's not dead yet.
Well, no, the legislative session's over. 1359, it's, you know, every legislative session is a complete recess. 1359 is done, okay?
Okay.
So essentially the timeline that we're looking at is this. The TNM will be launching a major campaign in September to engage more voters, and we'll be talking about that. I'm not going to spoil anything. But then we have the general election in November. 2 weeks after the general election, pre-filing for bills starts for the next legislative session, which will begin in January. So we fully intend to get this legislation hammered out with some of our allies inside the Texas House, hopefully the Texas Senate, so we can have a companion bill filed, get them pre-filed, and then begin the long slog to the start of the legislative session and all the way to the finish line.
So what do you think the percentages are if we could succeed in doing that in the next legislative session of basically legislators that would support this, given what we know
Well, you know, there's a lot of question marks because the other part that we've got to contend with is we are not out of the general elections yet, right? And we know that there is going to be some impact down ballot from the top of the ballot race, but there's also going to be a tremendous impact from you know, what's happening on the federal side. You know, I mean, there's a lot of complexity in what's going to happen here in Texas in November. And, you know, I don't know that anybody can accurately predict what's going to happen. But that being said, between now and the general election, if we do what we are supposed to do, which is continue to put this in the news cycle, continue to make this an issue for Texas voters, continue to send a message to these legislators that are going to be in the ballot in November, continue to work with our allies, you know, I think we can get over the 50% threshold in both houses, which is what we're going to need. And then ultimately, you know, getting sign off on that bill is going to be quite interesting when it hits Abbott's office. And the question that everyone needs to understand is when they're evaluating these legislators is it's not about whether the legislators agree with Texit or disagree with Texit. It's whether or not they think that you are smart enough to make your own decisions, whether or not they will follow the Texas Constitution, Article 1, Section 2. We're not trying to proselytize legislators to become, you know, pro-Texit. We're trying to get these legislators to do their constitutional duty and lay this question before the people of Texas and let the people of Texas decide. And if they are like the Representative Jeff Leaches of the world or the Representative Travis Clardy's of the world, then they believe that they are somehow better than us, smarter than us, and do not want us to make that decision. Or, as we said earlier, they know if it goes on a ballot, it passes.
Yeah, and if it does, they may be out of a job. That's what they're afraid of.
Well, look, they can run, right? I mean, they can run just like anyone else. You know, I talk about the process in the Texas book. We talk about it on the website. Literally, after the vote happens, the day after, nothing changes immediately, right? The will of the people has to be implemented, and we're going to continue to have elections, and they can go run. And I would love to see them run on a record that says, well, I know that 66% of you voted in favor of Texas, and that I publicly spent the last 4 to 6 years telling you were too stupid to govern yourself, but please vote for me anyway. I mean, I would love to see that campaign ad, right? So, you know, they have that opportunity, but they definitely, you know, I don't think that the Texas electorate is going to continue to take kindly to legislators that stand between us and having our voices heard on the issue of independence.
Well, and the one thing that I do know, if Texas became its own independent nation, we would not be voting as part of an Article 5 convention of states.
Well, yeah, no longer being a state kind of takes us out of the running on that one. But, you know, good news for the COS people, it lowers their threshold. So.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, it sure does. And the thing is that, you know, we know that big money is probably going to come in and influence an Article 5 if it were ever to happen. So here's the thing. All over Texas, there are branches popping up, and there are people who, obviously, if you're in Texas right now, you can find the nearest branch or get a hold of the website and put in for one to organize a branch. And basically, you know, from these branches, you're expecting people basically to, A, get the word out, B, distribute as much information as they can and create an understanding of what is necessary if you want to see Texas achieve independence through this nationalist movement. They want Texas to be its own nation. I mean, we need people to put the word out, right?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Article 1, Section 2 starts with the words, all political powers inherent in the people. And so we knew first and foremost when we founded the TNM it had to be a people movement. But the thing to understand is, and I caution people not to be lulled into complacency by the 66% poll numbers, by those high poll numbers of support. Because just like I tell people, you know, if all political power is inherent in the people, what good is it to be powerful if you don't show people, right? You have to exercise that power. And so consequently, we have to go out. We have to identify our voters ahead of time. And really what we're doing is we're prepping for the get out the vote campaign when this goes on to a ballot. But the good news is the things we have to do to win a referendum are the exact same things that will help us get that referendum. So we encourage everyone, go to our website, go to TNM.me or to TexitNow.org. Register your support, right? Let us know that you're one of us. We'll connect you to your nearest local group, and let's go win Texas independence.
There you go. Daniel Miller, president of the Texas Nationalist Movement. TNM.me, TexitNow.org. Those are the two websites. Get there and do that today, especially if you want to support, make a donation too, because that always helps. It gets stuff on paper that people can read, because sometimes people just need to have it in their face. We're going to be joined after the break by Jonathan Houlihan, Esquire, talking about Texas sheriffs declaring an emergency invasion at the southern border. Stay with us.
Probiotics. Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, You know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optavita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon, and it's Tuesday, July 12, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Amanda, it's just really crazy. I mean, we're talking about all things Texas, it seems like, this hour. And I'll tell you why. Because Texas is one of those southern border states that has been invaded. I mean, they've already said it in Arizona. There's officials there that are saying the same thing they are saying here. However, it's gotten to the point now where more and more of the local communities are becoming involved. And this, we're talking about the sheriffs, judges, mayors, and now Congressman Chip Roy, that happens to represent the district I happen to be living in here, holding an unprecedented press conference to announce an emergency declaration of invasion and discuss the challenges they're facing at the U.S. border impacting the safety of all citizens across the state of Texas. Not just that, but the U.S. as well. Goliad Sheriff Roy has also said the same thing. They're coming across his county to get into Houston. We have Jonathan Houlihan Esquire with us. Now, Jonathan, you were telling me, and welcome to the show, by the way. Thanks for taking your time out of all of this to talk about this declaration of local state of disaster. Exactly what does this declaration involve? Let's start with that.
So the declaration is really the border counties, and it's spreading like wildfire. It's going to more and more counties. It's a declaration of emergency, much like you'd see any declaration of emergency under the Texas Constitution. You know, a lot of the power in the Texas government is ceded to the county level, and they declared an emergency. They said, look, this is an emergency. It's we have the cartels, we have fentanyl, we have criminal activity, human smuggling, human trafficking across the board. It's an emergency, and we need help. So it was really a call, a legal document that can be officially recognized and formalized by government officials to really force Governor Abbott's hand. That's what it really was intended to do. Did it force his hand? Yes, a little bit. He declared an invasion under Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, but he didn't take it that additional step under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution, which would have given warlike authority to actually repel the invasion. And, you know, as a sovereign state in this constitutional republic, you know, we, the people, Texans, have a right to protect ourselves and our property and our citizens from criminal, narco, international criminal organizations, essentially terrorism. And they're pouring across the border. I mean, yes, there are people with legitimate asylum claims mixed in, but for the most part, they've been operationalized. They're being used by the cartel to not only make money, but obfuscate their other criminal activity, like human and sex trafficking. So it's a travesty, the failure of the federal government of the highest order, and it needs to be fixed immediately.
Well, and see, Biden invited him over here. That's what they're all saying. And I'd like to know where they got all those Biden T-shirts that they were wearing when they were crossing the border, if they didn't get a formal invitation from them and Mayorkas Dorcas. That bonehead needs to get impeached. And I think in November, that may just happen because the Republicans are going to be working on that. I know, as part of everything I've been reading. But as far as this issue, you know, the question on my show notes was, will U.S. citizens be deputized? I think it's going to be a matter of more along the lines of, will Texas allow itself and will the counties, the sheriffs, be able to put together their own militias to repel the hordes coming across the border? What say you to that?
Well, the answer to that is yes and yes. I mean, they, under the Texas Constitution, county sheriffs, constitutional sheriffs, have the ability to deputize. There's just a bond requirement, a surety bond. They have to be bonded and insured. I think it's $2,000 a bond. But they can deputize for the entire county, just a blanket bond. So that's already happened on a very minimal scale. I think they were looking to ramp that up. You know, look at Kenny County. He has six deputies. You know, he has some reserve deputies, but they have six deputies running around full time trying to secure the border for the United States. That's insane. So
it is.
Can they deputize? Yes. Should they deputize? Yes. Will they deputize? Yes, they better before it's over. This is not going to get better until we get some help. And the federal government, you know, it's like, you know, they're sending us well wishes and good luck and sending, like you said, T-shirts down south of the border for Biden. But they're not going to do anything. It's up to us, we the people, to secure our border and our property and our people. Otherwise, it's going to continue to get worse and continue to get degraded.
Well, you're an attorney. So this is the thing. You've run for public office before. And the thing is that you know about politics and you know how this is going to play out, especially with the federales, because here you got all this border patrol down there. You got DPS down there. Everybody's hands on trying to stop this stuff. You've got Sheriff Coe down there taking people to the point of entry and dropping them off, which to me doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's just a big waste of gas, which, you know, as it is, we're having a very difficult time affording because Biden and the rest of them up there won't let us drill. And so you've got this other situation going on with them wanting to deputize and people wanting to get involved. You've got the TNM movement, which we just had on here, the nationalist movement, wanting to make Texas its own independent nation. And if that happened, I guarantee you we would never, ever have allowed any of this to take place across our border in the first place. That would have been shut off immediately, courtesy of the citizens of the state of Texas. But now, you know, with this whole thing, how much interference are we going to have from Border Patrol if we were to deputize and create militias and have a call to arms and have tens of thousands of Texans and other Americans come down under the auspices of the sheriff and actually repel the hordes and take out these cartels that are coming across the border? What are the chances? Aren't we going to have interference?
Well, that's a great question. The one thing you need to remember is these Border Patrol guys, and that's where I get a lot of my information. I have a lot of friends in the Border Patrol, and they kind of feed me stuff.
Sure.
They're part of the communities. They are as frustrated. The officer on the border doing their job, trying to protect American citizens, they're more frustrated than us because they see it firsthand. They see the bureaucrats inside Washington, D.C. tying their hands. They see their friends getting investigated for some sham political virtue signaling investigation from the Biden administration for horse whipping, which didn't ever occur, wasn't a thing, and it was just virtue signaling, again, from the Biden administration. So I think if it came down to it, I really believe a lot of Border Patrol would just say, you know what, I'm joining these guys. If we had the authority, if we had the constitutional authority and backing, and we had the backing of Governor Abbott, I think they would just fall in and help us as much as they could. Because at the end of the day, this is an emergency. This is an invasion. This isn't political talking points or It is a real thing. Last year in the United States, more people died of fentanyl in the 18 to 40 age range than they did of COVID. It's a real thing. I mean, we have an invasion at the border of drugs and human smuggling, human trafficking. It's the same lines of effort the cartel used for the drugs, the same ones they used to smuggle the human beings. They obfuscate their operations downriver. I've been down there. I've seen it. So it is an invasion, and it's all hands on deck, and I think the Border Patrol would assist us. Would there be a constitutional issue? Yes. Would there be lawsuits? Yes. But it's just something we have to figure out. We don't have time to continue to go down this road while American citizens are suffering.
Well, and I know of militia people that are down there because we've had Sam Hall from America's Patriot Militia on the show, and he has told us that DPS has said, we're not coming to your aid if you get in a firefight. You cannot shoot across the Rio Grande. You can only shoot if they are confronting you on this side of the border. And he said, we cannot help you. And I'm just like, you know, that really sucks. You know, DPS is there to protect us as well. What in hell is going on?
Well, that actually doesn't surprise me. I mean, that sounds like a bunch of talking points drafted by some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. or in Austin. But I think if the rubber hit the road and bullets did start to fly, I think those guys would help lawful deputized citizens. I mean, that's the trick, right? If they're deputized, they're lawful, they're surety, they're bonded, they are recognized with the proper authority under law. So, you know, I think there may be a difference of opinion as far as if a guy's a militia member or if they're under colorful authority of law. But I think those DPS guys, and I think – you know, the Texas National Guard. I think they would all see that, that our guys are under attack if they came to that under fire, and they would respond accordingly.
Well, I guarantee you that if the governor's mansion was overrun by illegals, he'd do something about it right now. I mean, I can't say, hey, Governor Abbott, get off your ass, because he's confined to a wheelchair. So it doesn't work like that, obviously. But the thing is that, you know, he has to stop interfering with our rights to become, you know, continue to stay a sovereign nation and protect our borders. He, you know, I mean, if Biden's not going to do it, we have to, right?
Yeah, well, Governor Abbott, I mean, he did not want to do this. That is clear, right? Look, Governor Abbott has been around since really 2002. I mean, he was Rick Perry's attorney general when Rick Perry took over for George W. Bush in 2002, and he was attorney general until 2015, and he was elected governor. So this same Bush, Rick Perry, Greg Abbott, this group, this open borders group, has been in Texas for the last 25 years. So, you know, this is why our border has not been secure. We've welcomed a lot of this in a lot of ways, back to Rick Perry and Vicente Fox, you know, the transnational highway, all this open border stuff. Rick Perry signed legislation in Texas to allow for illegal aliens to have in-state tuition. I mean, this goes back 25 years, and they've set the conditions for this. And now we, the people, are kind of waking up going, hey, what happened? You know, why is there just a constant flow? Why do the cartels control all the ports of entry? Why are they able to smuggle people from Iran and China and Venezuela and all these countries from people that don't like us very much? And why are the cartels operationalized and murdering people on the U.S. side of the border? All of those things, it goes back to leadership. It goes back to who's been in charge for the last 25 years. And Greg Abbott did not want to declare an invasion. That's why it was a half measure. He didn't go the full Monty. He didn't go all the way in. So it's going to take real leadership to fix this. It's never going to get fixed. Remember, Republicans had the House, the Senate, and the presidency in 2016. Paul Ryan, did they have border security? Did they fund a border wall? No, no, no. Joe Biden, on his first day, reversed all of Trump's executive orders. So this is a failure going back many, many years in the state of Texas and in the federal government. And just because you have an R next to your name doesn't mean you're a constitutional Republican, or excuse me, a constitutional conservative, and you're going to protect the American people.
Yep. 844-769-2944. I know there's people that have questions. You're frustrated. You're confused. You want to know what the heck is going down and how we're going to stop it. The bigger picture is it's all politics again. Congressman Chip Roy, obviously bitching and screaming about everything, but I want to know, how much is Congressman Roy really getting involved in helping this thing out? Because a lot of this is all bark and no bite, and it's perfectly obvious. If Abbott is just willing to sit there and do nothing, then, you know, it's time that we look at leadership and see they've just put him back in authority again. I guess enough people have not been invaded personally. And I'm just wondering, do we as citizens of the state of Texas have the right to repel the hordes from our personal property without repercussion?
Well, I mean, I had a couple cases out of some ranchers from South Texas where, you know, they took a few actions and they actually got sued. So it really is at your own peril. I mean, the slip and fall lawyers will come out of the woodwork the minute you lay your hands on an illegal alien. So it really is important that folks, you always have an inherent right to self-defense. Just look, I was a Navy JAG, operational law JAG in Afghanistan with the Navy SEAL teams and Iraq with the Marines. And it's just like I told those guys, never hesitate. You always have an inherent right to defend yourself or your teammates. So never hesitate to defend yourself. I'm not going to go after you for any kind of investigation. Always defend yourself. So it's the same thing down the border. People always should defend themselves. I mean, you see what happens when people hesitate. They die. It's better to be judged by 12 than carried out by 6, right? But as far as taking the law in your own hands, I need to be very careful, especially with this administration. They're already on the lookout for, you know, insurrectionists and vigilantes, and they'll come after you. And it's going to get very expensive. I'm not going to say they're going to be victorious, but if the big G, the big government, wants to come after you in the Department of Justice, it's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. So whatever you can do, do it under the color of law. Do it like these guys are doing. They're declaring an invasion. They're getting Governor Abbott to act. We just need to continue to put pressure on Governor Abbott. And it doesn't matter what state you're in. If you're in Florida, if you're in Alabama, if you're in Arizona, put pressure on your state government to declare an invasion under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3. This is an emergency. Declare an invasion. They can enter into compacts clauses, and they can send their own forces to defend the border. People need to remember, just like Mr. Miller, you know, I'm a fan of his, you know, the states existed before the federal government. The states created the federal government. We are sovereign states. The federal government is intended to be one of limited government, of one of individual liberty to we the people, and they have not fulfilled their duty under the Constitution. So it's up to us. We're not going to just sit here and take it.
No doubt. Patrice in Ohio, you're on the phone with Jonathan Houlihan.
I just can't believe that Congress is even interested in helping us out here. You can't tell me that they care. This has been going on for decades. They probably get paid a lot of money to not do anything. That's all I can figure. If you wanted something done, you'd get it done. And you're right. It's got to go back to the states. This federal stuff's for the birds. We're done. They're idiots.
Well, look, I agree with you.
I ran
for Congress, and I believed, everybody wants to do the right thing. Everybody wants to uphold the law and the Constitution. Everybody wants to protect the people. That's what I thought when I ran. I did well, but I ran into the buzzsaw of the establishment. And in that vein, Chip Roy, I mean, he mentioned Mr. Roy several times. I'm a huge Chip Roy fan, I will admit. I think he really means it. I think he wants to fix this country. He introduced legislation last year to designate the cartels as FTOs. So when I was in Iraq and Afghanistan, one of my duties was to assist with FTO designation, which is foreign terrorist organization designation. That would allow us to target certain organizations, operationally lethal targeting of folks that fell under that authority. Chip Roy introduced legislation last year to get the State Department to designate the cartels as international narco-terrorists, an FTO designation, which would allow us to target them with lethal south of the border, of course, but also to prosecute them under 18 U.S.C. for material support to terrorism. That is something Chip Roy did. Does he have any support in the Congress? Absolutely not. Even in Texas, these guys that I see from the Texas delegation, they talk a huge game. They're, we're gonna fix the border. We're gonna do this. They go down there and take a picture next to the wall. They don't do squat. They haven't done squat for 30 years. They're not gonna do squat. It's up to we the people. It's to elect more people like Chip Roy in the future to hopefully get him some help where this legislation has a chance to pass. They don't want to close the border. They love the open border. They love the political talking points they get out of it. But it really is. It's no more messing around at this point. It's a national security issue, and it has to be solved.
Well, Patrice, we thank you for your call. Folks, and if you want to call and chime in and you've got questions, this is good, because I know there's a lot of people out there that are frustrated watching all of this stuff go down, and it's just a never-ending cycle that's a mess here. Mike, here's the thing. There are people already that, and I said call to arms earlier on the show, there are people, if they were to call Kinney County right now and ask for Sheriff Coe and tell him that they want to volunteer to be part of the militia, is that a possibility?
Well, I mean, hopefully you can get somebody on the phone. Remember, there's only six of them. I mean, they're out taking illegals to the hospital. They're escorting family units. They're protecting the United States of America with six deputies. So I don't know if there's anybody there to answer the phone, but I'm certain that Sheriff Coe or any of these constitutional sheriffs, if you pay the bond, especially if you have some previous training or experience, because again, he's kind of assuming that risk. He's assuming that bond that you're going to act accordingly and within the color of law. So of course they'll take people if they have training and they're willing to pay that surety bond. But that's a great question. I can follow up with you, and I can call them directly.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I know there are people down there that are of means that probably would want to volunteer and help, just knowing what we're up against. And the thing is that I just feel like like Iraq, Afghanistan, everything else that's been going on here with these police actions we're involved in, that our hands are tied behind our back most of the time. I mean, look at Border Patrol right now. And I know that Brad Coe and the sheriff in the adjoining county of Valverde and various other places, they've got to feel like they're outnumbered and their hands are tied behind their back. And the thing is that the governor is doing nothing. He's looking at it and he's not really doing anything. I mean, this is where the pressure needs to come from. I guess people need to start blowing up the governor's office phones and complaining, you know, what are you going to do? When are you going to step in and do this? I have Sam Hall telling me live on the phone, he's driving in an SUV along the border, and he said, I'll tell you what kind of fence that Abbott is putting up. It's a 6-foot-high chain link, and they're cutting through it like butter. I mean, what do you know about the – is this true?
Yes, it's true. I've been – okay, here we go. I'm going to tell you exactly what I saw when I was in Eagle Pass about a month and a half. Oh, it wasn't even that long ago. It was about 3 weeks ago. I went down to Eagle Pass. I mean, I've been all along the border. And, you know, they had the Connex box wall. You remember that?
Right.
Abbott built a wall. It was like 6 Connex boxes, maybe 7. They're put together. Then they have some razor wire on both ends, okay? It's just enough for a wide-angle picture. Go past the Connex boxes, there's nothing there. And what's funny is I talked to Border Patrol while I was on the ground there, and they're like, yeah, these boxes are horrible because we actually can't see anybody coming across the river, so they just show up on our side. So it's all political theater. The other fence, even all the way down river, I went all the way down several miles down river. It's a chain-link fence. There's huge sections that are open. And they're only putting the fence on the areas where the property owner agrees. So they'll come up with some kind of agreement with the property owner. Hey, can we put fence here? Sure. Some of the property owners are not agreeing to that. So there's huge gaps. And why are they not agreeing to that? Well, they probably have some kind of financial incentive from our adversary. That's probably why. I'm not trying to besmirch their characters, but that's a good chance of that. And as far as deputizing people and citizens doing their part, there are citizens all down there already doing it. I met a couple gentlemen that were contractor security guards in Iraq that previous experience. They were Vietnam vets. They were guarding a church. They were all kitted up guarding the church because the church was – they had a food bank and they had clothing for all the poor U.S. citizens that needed help. And every night it was getting broken into and ransacked where all their food and all their clothes that were meant for the U.S. citizens were getting destroyed. So these two gentlemen on their own, not getting paid, guard that church every single night. So there's stories like that all down the border where American citizens are already standing in the breach of liberty. And it's those kind of people that need to be deputized under color of law and have the ability to repel this invasion.
Boy, just until you start talking about these stories, Jonathan, it just I don't think people really understand what's going on down here. I mean, we see all this stuff on Fox. We see the same pictures and the same video being played over and over and over again. And they're telling us that, you know, tens of thousands of people are coming across the border on a daily basis. And then they're being loaded up onto buses by NGOs and taken to distribution points all over the country. I cannot see how anybody, and I don't care who it is, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter, including Pointy Boots and the rest of all of his, you know, clan that started this stuff 25 years ago, how they can sit there and live with themselves seeing what's actually going on right now. How's that possible?
Because they don't care. I never realized it was this bad until recently. They don't really care. They don't care what happens to the American people. They just they live in their own narcissistic bubble. And at the end of the day, it is as bad as you can imagine, if not worse. I was down there with General Flynn, Mike Flynn, and they had a 2-acre tent city set up for all the illegals they were busing in. And General Flynn and myself, and there was a couple other vets with us, they all said, man, this reminds us of Iraq or Afghanistan, like this, the lawlessness, the absolute lawlessness, the complete breakdown of the rule of law. You have civilians manning churches and other areas that, so they won't get ransacked. You have ranchers that have fence broken and their cattle are escaping every day, tens of thousands of dollars a month worth of damage, and nobody cares. The government is not protecting we the people. They're not fulfilling their enumerated responsibilities and duties under the Constitution. And then when anyone sticks their head up and says, hey, wait a second, we're being invaded. We need help. We need you to uphold your oath to the Constitution. They say, oh, we're going to prosecute you, and the DOJ is going to investigate you for civil rights violations. So that is the government we are living in today. So it is a tenuous situation. We're in a constitutional crisis, but we have to be very careful how we handle it. I think if there is a legal way to handle it, there's a proper way to handle it, and if we can do that, I think we can avoid any kind of violence in the future, and that's the end goal, to always avoid that.
Well, see, and to me, it's all politics again. And see, we the people, especially in the border states, as the people who support Abbott, keep voting this guy back into office like Pointy Boots and everybody else, and they do nothing. They do nothing. I'm talking about Rick Perry. That's what we called him when I worked at KLBJ in Austin, was Pointy Boots.
Oh, so worse.
You know, I mean, it's just when you're looking at stuff like this, I know it's really frustrating. But the thing is that, you know, a lot of our listeners out here are constitutional conservatives. Jonathan, and we thank you so much for being on the show to discuss this. I think that a lot of people just don't realize how serious it is, even if they watch this stuff on TV, because it's not in their backyard. It doesn't affect them. But it's going to, at some point in time, when the jobs start disappearing and people start breaking in and they start committing crimes, because all those gotaways that are terrorists in this country, it's just a matter of time before it really starts hitting the fan. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for being on the show. It's crazy out there, folks. It really is. In a world of sanity, at least we have God the Father out there that we can pray to for peace and quiet, at least for the time being. There may be a time when we have to rise up and do the right thing. In the meantime, Dave Prieger with you in the Power Hour. It's been wonderful. We're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.